Who's coup? Why a tiny deal by a Chinese bank in America matters.
The price is so trivial it will not have a discernible impact on the buyer, ICBC, the Chinese bank that is the world's biggest by value. By the time the acquisition is approved, it may well have been forgotten by most outsiders. And yet, it could be a transformative deal whose full implications will take years to emerge. Almost lost, amid the many transactions signed on January 21st to coincide with the visit of China's President Hu Jintao to America, was an agreement by ICBC to buy 80% of the Bank of East Asia's small, almost profitless, retail branch network in New York and California for $140 million. If approved, the transaction would be significant because for the first time a Chinese mainland bank would have activities operating under America's regulatory framework. But its importance goes beyond that. A tick in the box by American regulators expected by the end of the year would mean that they have endorsed the soundness of China's government-controlled and politically directed banking system. That has been a barrier to Chinese banks expanding in America. In recent years, American supervisors have stopped short of granting full approval for Chinese firms, instead allowing them only to provide wholesale services to companies. Even then, in at least one case, supervisors have insisted that the permit be contingent on further improvements in the Chinese firm's operating procedures. A license for a retail operation must pass a higher threshold, since local branches will be covered by America's deposit insurance umbrella. That, in turn, involves approving not only the operations of the bank that is entering America, but also its home regulator to ensure it is shipshape, in the jargon, that it can provide consolidated, comprehensive supervision. In theory, the Federal Reserve's examiners will now need access to the operations not only of China's largest bank, but of its regulators. Allowing Chinese banks into America may deepen the two countries' banking links. American firms have been able to operate in China and collect deposits for several years. Citigroup is one of the largest foreign firms on the mainland. But all such operations are strictly limited and usually subdued by red tape. As a result, foreign firms' market share in China has long stagnated at under 2%. Some suggest the ICBC decision may be tied to further opening to foreigners by the Chinese. But if so, this quid pro quo will not be part of the formal regulatory framework, but part of a quiet political bargain. Chinese banks are not about to conquer the world. ICBC, which has the most expansive instincts, has made a few small acquisitions in Asia and is expanding its network of branches elsewhere, but remains an overwhelmingly domestic outfit. The proposed deal will fit with its desire to keep a low profile. The seller, Bank of East Asia, is already foreign, being a Hong Kong-based firm with close ties to China. Since its American operations are small, with assets of only some $700 million, and its client base is largely tied to Chinese businesses, the change of control is unlikely to spark any reaction from customers or competitors. Public comments are being minimized to avoid inflaming popular and political passions in America. If the deal is approved, ICBC's subsequent role in the American market will largely depend on its ambitions. A big acquisition would place it once again before a regulatory review and generate a firestorm of controversy in America. It may prefer to grow organically, since it would probably enjoy full operating rights, while its healthy profits give it the resources to expand at will. It should have the same legal standing as any American bank, which is to say, the right to do business. Americans can hardly whinge that the biggest bank from the world's second biggest economy has a growing presence in their country. They will hope, though, that if its local operation fails, it won't have to be bailed out by Uncle Sam.